welcome in for today's Legislative Hotline. Jason, 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins, who joins us live on the line from Olympia today.
Morning, Brad. How are you doing in Olympia right now?
Hey, guys. Good morning, Jason and Chris. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, okay. First of all, I want to tell the audience here, if you got a question for Brad, two ways to do this on the Legislative Hotline here. Just hit the button on the KPU mobile app to text in your question or the mobile app, or text it in at 509-663-5139. If you have a question for Brad Hawkins from the legislature right now, the 12th District Senator, who we talk to every other week at this point, got about 15 minutes to talk to you, long extended period. So let's talk about, you had some exciting news you were telling me about what's going on with the legislature and the Confluence Parkway. Let's go into that for a second.
Yeah, so the Confluence Parkway project is, as some people are familiar with, a roadway, but also includes a second bridge across the Wenatchee River. And there were a lot of news last legislative session related to it, because there was a major 16-year transportation investment package that was making its way through the Capitol. And that did eventually pass and get signed into law. And those only pass the legislature every 4 to 6 years. And so it was a major opportunity for us to get funding for the Confluence Parkway project. And in the end, we did get $85 million identified in the long-term transportation plan, of which the Confluence Parkway project could qualify for matching funds. It wasn't specifically itemized the Confluence Parkway, and I know that was kind of a question that came up at that time, but that $85 million was put in place, and it would be a match to the federal infrastructure infra grant that was received by the city of Wenatchee. So it matches the federal dollars. Well, now that the plan has been approved and signed into law, we now, as a legislature, need to schedule out all 16 years of those projects. And getting the funding identified specifically for Confluence Parkway this session is going to be very important. And also getting the scheduling for Confluence Parkway to match when the federal funds are coming is also very important. So I'm working closely with Mayor Koontz, Jeff Wilkins from the Transportation Council, and others to get that done. Now, the governor has proposed a transportation budget, and the governor's proposed transportation budget does fund the Confluence Parkway project in accordance with our schedule. And it's basically over, the funding would be spread out over the next 6 years in this transportation plan, because the project takes a while to get completed.
The question would be, bottom line is, when are shovels in the ground for this, or when do we expect at this point?
Yeah, I think the project would be scheduled to get started in 2025, I believe, and go through 2029, but I'd have to double check my notes on that.
Another thing is, of course, the big deal here is another bridge across the Wenatchee River. That's all going to be the biggest money that goes to infrastructure like that, because those aren't cheap to build. I had one question about all of that also, but go ahead and go into a little more for us.
Oh, so basically, now that the governor's proposed budget funds Confluence Parkway and in accordance with the schedule, we also need to go ahead and make sure that the Senate transportation plan also funds Confluence Parkway and aligns with the governor's schedule. So those are the things I'm working on.
Yeah, you know, that's really interesting, because I believe the freeway to nowhere in Spokane is not part of the governor's budget here. And of course, they need that really majorly to hook up I-90 with that 395 there in Spokane. That's kind of a major deal. It's kind of good for us that we're getting this funding from the governor's budget. So I guess if you got that, well, then I guess that's you who did it, Brad.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping it does get done, and it's been a long time coming, and there's a lot of federal support for it as well. But to follow up on Confluence Parkway, the phasing for Confluence Parkway, the funding would need to begin in 2023 and extend through 2029. Okay. And so the $85 million kind of gets budgeted for over multiple biennia, because we budget over 2 years, And that was a big part of this long-term transportation plan that was approved. It's known as the Move Ahead Washington Plan. The legislature did approve it, and the governor signed it into law, and it includes 16 years of projects, almost $17 billion of transportation investments. However, it did not have what's called an aging and phasing of all the projects. And now it's sort of a big food fight among all the legislators to get their projects scheduled. And most of us want our projects sooner rather than later, of course. But in the case of Confluence Parkway, it's much needed because we have these federal dollars that we're leveraging, and we can't leave those dollars. We gotta make sure we capitalize on those dollars.
Gotta use them. I'm trying to visualize a food fight in the Senate right now on the Senate floor, what that would look like. Of course, we want to
bipartisan
food fight. Okay, all right. Now let's go on to some of the other things you wanted to talk about. And I don't know where you want to start with the inclusion curriculum, or if you want to go to some of your bills.
I'm happy to talk about either. But it is kind of an interesting process right now in the legislature because we're sort of finishing up the committee phase, and we're moving towards the floor voting phase. And so some of the bills that have achieved their cutoff date and have advanced, they're still up for consideration, but other bills have already died off. But this Friday is a key date for bills to advance from their budget committee. And then for the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're probably going to be exclusively voting on the Senate floor. One of the bills that was approved by the Education Committee, which I voted against, would mandate that all 295 school districts adopt a policy that would be created by the Washington State School Directors Association and the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction to have inclusive curriculum. And inclusive curriculum is a long process, but it also includes transgender issues and other things. And I'm not necessarily trying to pass a judgment today on whether inclusive curriculum is a good thing or not, but I will say I don't want the Washington State Senate trying to become the Washington State School Board. The school districts are local government entities. They're overseen by their superintendents and their locally elected board members, and they are the best ones to make decisions on curriculum and finances and all these other things. So I just don't want the state of Washington trying to do what it's done in the past, whether it's comprehensive sex education or other things, to try to mandate and push all these curriculum issues onto all school districts and force them to adopt it. So that's one of the bills that I'm concerned about.
So you have an amendment now. How is that moving along? Is it going to be considered? That would become on the House floor?
It will be considered on the Senate floor. Now, when the comprehensive sex education bill came up a few years ago, and you remember that one, you guys, because it ended up, signatures were gathered in a statewide referendum after it passed. It went on to the ballot. And it was ultimately defeated statewide. But, my amendment at that time was one of the only ones that was accepted. That amendment allowed families to opt out of the comprehensive sex education curriculum. And this amendment would allow school districts to consider inclusive curriculum, but it wouldn't require them to adopt it.
Make it voluntary.
So I think it's important. Yeah, help them, encourage it, or allow it, but not require it. And I think that's an important distinction.
Okay, all right. So voluntary. And do we have that? What other drama do we have going on in Olympia that's caught your eye?
Well, the big drama after this Friday, after bills advance out of their fiscal budget committees, the ones that are still alive, it's going to be an extended process over multiple days and into the evenings until March 8th. And that's going to be a lot of floor voting. You're going to hear a lot about bills that are maybe passing out of the Senate or amendments that are being offered. So we're sort of getting mobilized and preparing for that. March 8th is a key deadline, probably the most significant in the 105-day legislative session. It's the date for when bills that were sponsored in the Senate need to pass the full Senate to advance, or bills that were sponsored in the House that are House bills, they'll need to pass the House in order to be alive in the process. And Senate bills that do pass by March 8th, and I hope I have a couple, those bills go over to the House of Representatives and go through the same process over there through their committees. And correspondingly, the House bills that pass the full chamber there come over to the Senate in the Senate committees, and then ultimately, potentially, back up to the full Senate.
So we're talking about process here, how this all works out. On the committee level, if there's any bills discussed in committees after that point, you said March 8th, really, it actually has to pass out of the House or the Senate. We're talking about,
right.
If we're talking about bills in committees, we're talking about bills that are going nowhere, basically, right? Unless they get somehow attacked.
At that point, when we do committee work after March 8th, it's to consider bills from the opposite chamber passed over. So the House bills, for example, need to come through the Senate Education Committee. So we're going to be monitoring those closely. And so basically the committees almost exclusively, other than mostly the budgets, process through opposite chamber bills at that point.
I guess a bill that got introduced new after this point, basically coming now, would be moot because it would have to go through next year because it's already lost the cutoff dates as of tomorrow, I guess.
That's right. There are some exceptions to that. If bills are deemed to be necessary to implement the budget, so there could be the budget bills plus other revenue bills or other things. So there are some exceptions to that, but I'm kind of speaking generally. But sometimes legislators still introduce bills past the cutoff because this is the first year of the biennium or two-year period. And bills are technically alive for the full 2 years. And so if some of my bills that I've introduced, and I have that public facility district bill for the Regional Aquatic Center, I have a bill related to 10th grade Running Start. Those bills, if they don't pass all the way through this year, they're technically still alive for next year, but I'd rather get them done in 1 year rather than two.
Okay, we just have a couple of minutes left, so let's talk about the Aquatic Center and the bill you have related to that for just a second.
Yeah, the short of it is that bill has moved along. It has not received one no vote. There's been a few people with some questions, but it's successfully passed through three committees at this point. It recently got pulled from the Rules Committee, which means this bill is eligible to be voted on in the full Senate. And I hopefully sometime next week, that bill 5001 will come to the Senate floor and be approved by the full Senate, and then we have to go through the whole process in the House. The other bill related to 10th grade Running Start, which would allow 10th graders to take limited courses, one per term, in this Running Start program online, if they're online courses. That bill has passed the Education Committee. It's had a hearing before the Budget Committee in the Senate. It's scheduled to be approved Friday, which would be the deadline, February 24th. Yeah. And so if that passes by February 24th, that bill would be eligible to be considered in the full Senate as well.
Okay, so two-year bills are moving along and probably will pass the Senate. I say at this point, the one passes by tomorrow out of Ways and Means, which is financial, of course, and then or Transportation Committee to get to the floor of the Senate to get passed full on there. And you said basically they're going through without much opposition at all. So once they get there, I guess they will pass and go over to the House. So
well, that's putting it generously. I mean, these bills take a tremendous amount of work. I have to educate all my colleagues every step of the way. Mm. But so far, so good on those two things. And as far as Confluence Parkway, we're hoping that scheduling and funding will surface in the Senate proposed transportation budget. That would align with the governor's proposed transportation budget. And my colleague, Representative Gaynor, serves on the House Transportation Committee. Hopefully they can get approval over there and we can get everything all lined up. Because in the end, when it comes to the budgets or any bills, all the bills need to align and be approved throughout the whole legislature in order to become law. And so we would need, for transportation, that Confluence Parkway component identified in both the House and the Senate budgets and ultimately go to the governor that way.
But we're thinking this is probably going to go through, though.
Well, I take nothing for granted. It's great that the governor proposed it. I've learned that. I've served in the legislature 10 years, and the one thing I've learned is, you know, nothing comes easy. You got to work the heck out of it. Take nothing for granted, because when you do that, you become one of the folks. There's only 10% of the bills actually make it to the governor. There's like 1,500 bills that have been introduced this year. I never want my bills to be like that. I'm batting about 500 for my prime-sponsored bills, but it's because I have a healthy level of concern along the way.
Okay. Well, good you're that way, I guess, and we will see what happens with all of that, especially with the Confluence Parkway project, which affects everybody here. It's always top of mind. Okay. Brad Hawkins, Senator from the 12th District, thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. Great to be with you.